Any team that's tested AI tools for data has seen the pattern already. AI gives a different number than your BI tool. Metrics don't match across teams. And inevitably, users lose trust. It turns out, turning on AI is easy, but making it work on data is not. Hex AI was built to solve this. The key is nailing context. Hex is built to unify and curate your data context for agents. Data teams can observe, govern, and continuously improve every AI answer, so answers get smarter the more your team asks. The result? Your entire organization asks data questions in natural language and trusts the answers. Not because the AI got lucky, because it knows your business and its data. Because that's what an AI analytics platform should do. Join data teams from Cursor, Lovable, Ramp, AWS, and over 2,000 more at hex.ai.
Let it bump.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All righty then. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Yeah, how about them? How about the Cougs beating Texas Tech? How about that? The Tech ranked... And the Cougs come up with the win against Texas Tech. Nice job, boys. That is an awesome way to 64-53. Actually, wasn't even close.
They had a big lead, and then Tech made a run. I think they got it within eight or so. Couple of things, a technical foul called on. I forgot the kid's name, but he blocked the shot, called for a technical foul. Kevin Sumlin was not thrilled about the call. So they teetered a little bit, but never got close where it was a one-possession game. And they closed out Tech. Good win for the Cougs as they're actually playing basketball and not having to deal with COVID as much as other teams across the country.
Yeah. No, right. Yeah, as opposed to other teams. They're 3-0 on the season. They beat Boise already, beat Snot out of Lamar. That was expected. But to beat Tech, a ranked team early on, 14th ranked in the country, depending on what you're looking at, good stuff. Good stuff. Sasser can play. We've seen Giroux now for a few years, and he can go. He's yep.
Sweet 16 team now every season. You know, you got to think they got a legitimate shot at Sweet 16 whenever they play defense. And Kelvin Sampson knows how to win. He knows how it works. So, you got to be happy with what you got over there in the men's basketball program. It is going to be tricky because. Contact tracing will take out an entire team if you're not careful. And so how basketball is going to get through this, because it's not, they don't have one game every week. They'll have a couple games a week. I mean, it'd be better if they really lighten the load from a schedule standpoint from here until about January, if possible, just to get it as close up to a vaccine, potential vaccine as possible. Any news on vaccine stuff? Could start as early as tomorrow?
Actually, today.
December 1st.
Is today? Oh, no, that's right. Tomorrow, December 1st. Yes, it's actually supposed to start tomorrow. Supposed to be given around at hospitals here. So
have they given emergency authorization already to... I know Moderna asked for it, and their spike has jumped now from 72 to 140. It was in the 90s. Then it jumped up to 116, then 127, and today it's 146. Moderna is the one that's going bananas because they ask for emergency. But I would think that's like instant. Why would you not? Well, yeah, you're good. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Just get the trucks going. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go. This is how I would do it. Can we have it? Yeah, you're good. You're good. Yeah. Do you need to see papers? Nah, I saw it on Twitter. You're good. Everything's fine. I checked you out on Twitter. You're good.
Well, there's a third company now, right?
Yeah, Pfizer, Moderna, and AstraZeneca. AstraZeneca's came through at over 90%. So they were over 90%. So all three of them are strong. So now you got three different types. They attack, two of them attack it the same way, the mRNA and whatever, it's the RNA, and then one attacks it differently. But they're all successful, over 90% success rate. So whatever, shoot them out there. Throw me one in my hip. I'm good. I'll go first. All you people worried about if you're going to grow a tail or whatever, I don't care. Throw one in me. I'm good.
Yeah, I take one right now.
I'll take one right now. Yes. 90% efficacy? Yeah. Yes. Efficacy? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Fire one in. Shoot it in my neck. I don't care. I don't want a neck.
How about your shoulder?
Yeah.
What about your leg, your ankle?
Yeah. I don't want to do ankle shots.
Well, I mean,
I'm not trying to be Chris Sims and Kyle Shanahan best buddies.
No, but where you and Joe Biden can't walk.
No.
I shoot it into that.
No, I'm not.
Do you think it might help? And you can step over curbs now?
What if they told me that, okay, well, they have to shoot it into your... Oh, what if they told you to get the... If you wanted a virus vaccine, you had to shoot it into this part of your foot.
Oh!
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
The bottom of your foot?
The bottom of your foot, not the heel. If they said, well, we have to inject you in the bottom of your foot.
No.
Would you want to get it? I mean, you obviously wouldn't want to get it. Would you get it? I think I might wait. Where did you get your test?
Was it all the way up into your brain?
Yeah.
You did that?
They didn't brain me.
They brained me. I still did it.
They did?
Yeah.
They just did. I did one where they said, keep going. I'm like, ah. I said, hey. Yeah, that looks good.
The one by Minute Maid's much easier.
Yeah, just swab your mouth.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a blessing.
Oh, and it looks like we're going to have way more positives coming our way coming soon. Yeah, Fauci said it's going to be unbelievable how many positives we're going to have.
A lot of positives, the most positive. Positive schmozative. I'm just trying to limp to the finish line for the vaccine.
Well, here's the deal, though.
Get me in the vaccine.
You see, our president, he's really refuting. I don't think he's only got a month and a half left. I'm not sure he's going to accept these. Did you see his tweets this weekend?
No.
He doesn't agree with a lot of the counts.
Is he doing anything other than that right now?
Nope.
Is that
pretty
it?
Pretty much that's it.
What about president stuff?
What? Like what? Playing golf?
It's
hard to play golf unless you get to Florida. Has he taken...
He's found a way to play.
I'm sure he's found a way to play. You know he's found a way to play. The Broncos need him for vaccine for their quarterbacks. And the Broncos said that they were making an example of him, but that's simply not the case. You can't get anybody on board. And those guys that all were tested positive or they were contact tracing, they couldn't play either, even if you moved the game to Monday or Tuesday. Nobody could play. And they can't get a guy in because you have to have 6 days on the roster of quarantine before you can actually get on with the team. So there was nothing that the league could have done for Denver.
Yeah. Kareem Jackson was one of the guys. I feel like maybe the game could have been moved, but at the same time, maybe the league was making an example of us as far as maybe not doing the thing we needed to do in that particular room, that quarterback room. Obviously, the guys didn't follow their protocols, and for the NFL to see that, I guess they felt like they had to make an example. So at the end of the day, it is what it is. He also goes on to say it was the guy's fault. They screwed up. They didn't wear the mask when they're supposed to.
Yeah, I was going to say, it is... By the letter of the law, it's true. It feels like you could have moved it to Tuesday, though, because apparently your other quarterbacks came back with negative tests for now. And could you have waited for another couple of negative tests and played the game on a Tuesday?
Even 2 days later, though, they still wouldn't be able to play. They still wouldn't be able to play, even if you came back with negative tests.
Well, it's not. Yeah, you could, because it's not the 14th where you have to sit out like college football is doing it.
No. But I believe it was five days or 6 days or something that you had.
Yeah, but they tested it.
If they moved it to Monday or Tuesday, they couldn't play. Those guys couldn't
play. Well, because, okay. I just thought it was a little strange not to, you can't kind of on the fly make any changes to anything. I don't know. It just seems weird. This is where at uncertain times. That was a wide receiver I wrote up from Wake Forest 2 years ago, Kendall Hinton. I'm like, Kendall Hinton? What? I had to go look up my write-up. I said, I'm pretty sure I wrote him up as a wide receiver. Oh, yeah, he was. And he was terrible. I was watching that game. Do you know that he and between those two wide receivers playing quarterback, there was like had 40 – Kendall Hinton was 0 for 7 at the half with no yards. And what's his name? Taysom Hill had like 38 yards passing. It was atrocious. At one point with two minutes to go in the fourth quarter, they were a combined 4 of 13 with 6 yards passing.
No, he was 1 of 9 for the game for 13 yards.
At one point in the second quarter, that's what it was. Hinton and Taysom Hill combined.
Oh, yeah.
Combined. Yeah. I was like, how is this possible?
No, it was the worst quarterback play ever. Taysom Hill was terrible, too.
Taysom was terrible, too, and Kendall Hinton. I mean, that was literally like you had to have come up with something more. You had to have come up with – you should have come up with a triple option. Like, they really should have installed triple option because they had no chance with him making any passes.
2 days or whatever, how much time they had.
Right. But listen, if you played quarterback in college at all, you should have been better than he was.
Well,
he was really terrible.
He couldn't play at Wake Forest.
Well, right.
He lost
his job. I mean, you should have been somewhat better. I mean, his throws were terrible.
But he hasn't. He hadn't played quarterback since, I guess. He's been a practice squad wide receiver. What's Taysom Hill's excuse?
You still throw the football around in practice. You do. I mean, he was terrible. He was really, really terrible.
You insert a guy who hasn't played quarterback in years into the NFL?
You can't.
In the NFL game?
You can't. NFL's too good.
So do you know why they denied the assistant coach Calabrese from suiting up?
Why?
Because I believe it was the Raiders. Like, they would stash defensive backs on their coaching staff, and then when they got low, they would activate coaches. Yeah. So they had to make a rule that said coaches cannot be activated to the roster.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why that's what I heard happen there. That's why they had to change the rule, and that's why they couldn't let Calabrese. But how great would it have been if Rob Calabrese came in and destroyed
out of the crime family?
Right out of the Calabrese
family. One of the five families?
Yeah.
Wow.
How awesome.
I know. A quality control guy like, our quarterback is on. Coach, you got to have a quarterback. Our quarterback is on the field. Okay. Like a scene out of Hoosiers.
Hoosiers. And, well, you think since it was Calabrese that there might have been some threats against the Saints defense. Hey, you let them score, it's bad things going to happen to you.
All I'm saying is it might be best that maybe a couple scores get in. Maybe something to make it look good.
Hey.
I ain't saying that you got to lose. What I'm saying is you got to let them score.
You know where Drew Brees is right now? I mean, you think he's injured. We'll show you injured.
Yeah. You want to see?
You want to
see a picture of Drew right now?
See him again?
How many ribs got cracked? Mm-mm. Exactly.
How many more? How many more is he going to get, too?
Keep playing. It is what it is.
So, I want to see Calabrese look good. You understand?
Yeah.
You understand?
All right. Take a dive in the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
A dive in the third.
31-3, and it wasn't. How about, though, somebody put out there, Tom Brady scored just as many points as Kendall Hinton did against the Saints defense.
Yeah, but he scored more. Well, the Saints defense is actually playing really, really good right now.
Yeah. That was a bad matchup.
May have had more passing yards.
That was a bad matchup for Kendall Hinton.
Yeah. Saints are playing really. I got news for you. The Texans could have got healthy against Kendall Hinton.
Yeah.
They got healthy against the Lions.
Yeah. So, all right. 713-780-3776. Gulf Coast Chevy now.
So, Craig DeSurf is the guy who has been running Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC for three, going on 4 years now. I used to know him when he was, I knew him the first time when he was local in the Houston area. And I spoke for him there for Cadillacs. And I just love the way he operated. I like his personality. He's a fun guy. He's got a great sense of humor. And he's got great people around him. The people who he hires are like him. Now, the great thing is a lot of them came down with him to Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC in Angleton, but the people in the service department, they're locals. They're people from the Angleton area, and they've been with them the entire time. There's almost no turnover there, and that's because they're great people who do a great job, and it's got that down-home feel that you really, really love out of a dealership. You don't want the slick, quick dealership that is trying to make a buck off of you. You want somebody who wants your business, who treats you like they want your business, and who gives you great offers and takes care of you as often as possible when you're in there, whether it's for regular maintenance or you want to flip your vehicle and get a new one. They're going to do it over at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. I can tell you about the great offers they have, but you can just go to LanceZCars.com and find out for yourself. I just want to make sure that you know the people that you're dealing with are top-notch, and they are going to make it an enjoyable experience. I will put my name on that one. Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Go to LanceZCars.com.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion, and big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here, and wait until you hear what my friends over at Bespoke Post are up to. Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal box of awesome collection for guys that are guaranteed to upgrade your life. They send guys the very best stuff every month, whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads, or maybe you just want some clothing for when the temperature dips. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered, from style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and even outdoor gear. To get started, go to boxofawesome.com and take the quiz. Your answers will help them pick the right box of awesome just for you. And they release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs just $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code BENCH at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code BENCH, for 20% off your first box.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Let me say we get your calls in here. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number. Kerry has been waiting a while. He wants to get in here to talk. What do you say, Kerry?
Hey, guys. How are y'all?
Good, man. How are you?
Good.
So I just got back from out of town, but so I listened this weekend. I just happened to stumble upon the Fred and AJ fight, and let me tell everyone: if you have not listened to this, you have got to go find it on podcast. These two dummies, and I'm listen. Nobody's going to accuse them, either of these guys, of being Mensa, Mensa candidates. They argue for 20 minutes about one of the stupidest topics that you could ever. Here's a fun game. Try to find a more lame subject on a sports show than what the transition of power should be after an election. Let's just figure that one out. But the other one, it ends spectacularly, by the way, because, spoiler alert, AJ gives a sarcastic apology to Fred, and then tells him how to do his job on the air. It's unbelievable. You just got to listen to it. So that's just a shout-out to those guys. I'm sure that wasn't scripted, but...
No, I don't think they scripted that.
No, it wasn't scripted.
No, I'm pretty sure they didn't script. We listened to it. We played some of the argument here, and we couldn't play the end with that. That got a little uncomfortable, the whole ending of it, but...
That's the best part, John. That's the best part.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
It is, and you know it.
No, we're not doing here's
my question on a serious note. The Texans. So you've been talking this morning about the bad moves. You know, Lance, let's just pretend for a second you are a billionaire, or John, you too, and you own an NFL team. Don't you have somebody that you kind of, Not the GM, not the vice president, but like a friend of yours that can kind of give you a sanity check every now and then to say, does this sound right to you? I mean,
not if you think you're the smartest guy, and not if you think you're the emperor of the team, not if you think you're Bill O'Brien had such an opinion of himself.
I'm talking about the owner.
The owner.
You're a billionaire.
Knowledge is power.
You're the owner. It's like the athletes that go to these clubs and decide to drive home drunk. It's like, dude,
take somebody with you. You have more money than God. What is the matter with
you? Well, that's what he's got now. He's got Jack Easterby. He's got Jack Easterby to teach him.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I know. That's what we've been saying for a while here. Yeah, when the realization sets in, it's terrifying.
No, I'm talking about somebody that you grew up with, a high school buddy, a college buddy, that Cal could go, hey, does this seem right to you? I mean, and like, you know, a fantasy team owner.
How about that? Does this seem right to you, what they're doing over there? Like, honestly, Cal, it doesn't seem great.
No. It seems pretty dumb.
But honestly,
seems pretty dumb.
Hold on, I'll be honest. I was shocked at how little uproar there was about, and I get it. People were really excited about the Laremy Tunsil trade when it went down. I loved hearing that Tunsil was coming to the Texans. Then when I heard what it was, I was like, oh my God, that's Khalil Mack's trade. And but in Houston, there was not an uproar. And I understand people don't do team building stuff, but all I could think of was wait until you guys see what credit card spending looks like when you don't have a first. That's when everyone is going to sink in, because one guy doesn't fix pass protection. One guy doesn't fix it by himself. Never. One guy can wreck a pocket as a pass rusher, but one guy cannot fix pass rush issues or amongst an offensive line. Now, I think the Texans have done a good job of trying to identify the issues and fix the pass rush. And that was one thing to do, but it just wasn't the right, spending for it. But to be honest with you, people in Houston were not outraged at all over Laremy Tunsil. It was not like what they gave up. And I get it; he was a good player, so that's not one that was going to throw people off the scent. The two that really upset everybody in general was a third rounder for Jadeveon Clowney, and then everybody knew that was the worst trade ever for DeAndre Hopkins to get a second. Mm. We couldn't get anything better than that. We couldn't get anything.
Such a
and
lie.
Washington's like, hey, we wish we would have known DeAndre Hopkins was for sale. We wish we would have known that. They came out and showed that Houston lied. They showed Houston lied.
No, Bill O'Brien lied all the time. He lied all the time. I mean, about the stupidest things, too. Just stupid things. Yeah, I'm calling. No, who's calling the plays? Just, we see you with the menu, the Denny's menu, and we see you calling the plays, Bill. It's okay. You can just tell the truth. Stop.
It's not my job to do that.
Carrie, we appreciate it. Let's get La Raza. Con
your right. Oh, buenos dias, Johnny G, Lance, Devoncito, gentlemen. Good morning. How y'all doing?
We're doing great. How are you?
Doing good. I actually had I'm glad I had caught Lance right now because he's the NFL guy, because I wanted to tell him, man, what's going on with the organization of the NFL? I mean, you give up the greatest, probably one of the most blockbuster game, which is the Ravens and the Steelers at night, but you let the Broncos play without a quarterback. I don't understand why that happens. I mean, that's just, to me, so confusing just to even let them out there, and the Broncos got destroyed by even a backup quarterback as well, and with the New Orleans Saints. But also, I had another question too. What are the odds? Monday, right, gentlemen?
Yeah, it is.
Are the odds that Sarah Fuller goes right before Trevor Lawrence in the Jets pick in the number one draft? Hashtag fail for Fuller.
There's no chance on that one.
And fail for Fuller?
My league is fail for Fuller.
Fail for Fuller.
What if the Jets do something like, and in the seventh round, what if a team just really wants to show how much of an ally they are? We're drafting Sarah Fuller.
Are they, though?
She hasn't entered the draft. She'll actually be playing soccer in North Texas next season, so
okay,
she won't be eligible for the draft.
Well, wait a minute. She's transferring from Vanderbilt to North Texas?
Well, she's going to start her post grad career, but she's going
to grad school.
Grad school at North Texas. Maybe Vanderbilt doesn't offer the degree, and she's a Texas girl, so she's coming home. She's going to go to grad school and play ball at North Texas.
She's going to play soccer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ball. Yes. Soccer.
Right. And now, Derek Mason's been fired. The new coach has to keep her on because I think she wants to stay on the team now.
Well, if they don't have any kickers available.
Well, right. What if the kickers are back available?
Then she probably won't play.
Maybe I don't know. She wants to stay on the team now.
Keep her on the team. Doesn't mean she has to play.
No, right.
They got walk-ons on that team who don't do nothing.
No. I get it. Yeah. There's plenty. But.
What?
I don't know.
What? He didn't have to do it, but what's the harm?
No, I mean, it was just did it. It's over.
Yeah, but if she wants to hang out, who cares? The Vanderbilt don't care about what are they doing?
No, but they're fighting. They're fighting
for what?
For a win.
Oh.
A first win. They're fighting for a first win.
Okay. You think her not being on the roster is going to be the difference?
I don't know. I'm just saying. I'm just wondering, you know, what makes it a little uncomfortable for the new coach. Hey.
What's so uncomfortable about it? What's so uncomfortable?
I'm just watching this.
I got to figure out what's so uncomfortable about her hanging around to the end of the year. How many games do they have left? You think it's going to matter against
two?
Maybe Tennessee, you think so, gets scheduled?
Wait. We're not still doing this, are we?
Yeah.
Derek's gone. Derek's gone. Yay. We got our thing. We got the TV and
got
SEC
him fired.
Network.
You want to see?
ESPN. She didn't get Derek. For the last time, she did not get Derek Mason fired.
Why do you think the 0-8
record? Her kickoff did not get
just
Derek
for
Mason fired.
I'm asking for a friend.
Which friend? Vanderbilt friend?
What if the coach is like, hey, I'm trying to keep a job here.
He's not going to have a job either.
I'm trying to keep a job.
You think Georgia, the upcoming game against Georgia, is going to go any better without her on the roster?
Is that what he's got left?
Yes. Well, Georgia maybe rescheduled Tennessee game, but Georgia definitely next week. On Saturday, I mean. You think that's going to matter, Fuller's on the roster or not? Georgia just ran for over 300 yards.
Well, does she have to kick?
No, it's Vanderbilt. They're not going to be it, except maybe the kickoff.
Well, that's
true. It's not going to be much kicking, John.
Yeah,
don't worry about it.
But if she kicks, they have to start at the 35 or 40.
It's better than letting Georgia return the football.
That's true.
Against Vanderbilt.
That is
Hey,
true.
Kyrus Jackson, kick it to him or start at 35.
Which one?
Start at the 35.
35. Let's get Slappy in here. Hey, Slappy.
What's up, fellas?
How you doing?
Hey, what are the odds that Texas A&M runs the table? And if they do, do they go to the tournament? And Ron Washington, he's rich and he smokes crack.
Yeah, so that's leftover from last week about do rich people smoke crack. I'm not a huge believer in rich people
smoke.
I realize there have been people who have had money who have smoked crack. I don't think generational wealth that has drifted from generation to generation to generation.
It's not much different smoking crack. It's not.
You're saying it like you're a crack smoker.
Yeah.
Like he's an expert.
Like John's like, no, it's really, seriously. It's very similar when you smoke the crack.
I've got
I'm
expertise
just telling
in
you,
both.
It's like, it's not like smoking, it's not like meth. It's not like.
It's crack.
Crack
literally gutted the entire inner cities of our country in the 80s. It was not good. It was the meth, before meth hit Iowa and all the farmland, yeah. Crack was hitting the inner cities.
Yeah,
well, it ruined families.
And Coke did too.
There's something called crackheads.
Coke did too.
Well, there's something called cokeheads, but there's something called crackheads.
It's the same thing. It's cokeheads.
Night
and
of the Living Baseheads by Public Enemy. A basehead's the worst.
Does Coke get you to do stuff behind a gas station?
No.
Sure.
I don't know.
I'm sure people. Oh no. The stuff's been done for Coke too.
Sure?
Stuff's been done for Coke too.
No, I said behind.
Yes.
I didn't say stuff.
Not like dirty behind a gas station stuff.
Yeah,
like with a bum.
Yes. Stuff has been done for Coke too.
You did things with a bum. That's crackhead stuff.
That's it.
Cokehead stuff is somebody in a club.
A bum that
you do stuff
crack.
With the dealer
I'm
for a cokehead.
You rich people smoke crack too. They do. I'm telling
not
you.
What's currently
the
not a bunch of
yes.
crackheads.
One out of every eight rich people? I don't know.
If you have
number?
An addiction, if you'll do coke as a rich person, you'll smoke crack as
I
a rich person.
I just feel like you're really backsliding if you're smoking crack.
Well, it's. I'm telling you.
Coke is considered more glamorous. Crack is considered like.
Until everything in your nose is all burnt up.
That never happens to people. What are you talking
about? Crackheads aren't really? Going good
never,
either.
Really. No, never
they
happens.
They don't need nodes reconstruction.
No, I've never seen that. You made that up. To answer your question, Slappy, A&M has a legitimate shot if they went out to make the
See, he cracked us, and now I got all off the A&M thing because we're talking about crackheads again.
Mm-hmm. Well, don't bring
crackheads
crack
versus crackheads. I would rather hang out with a cokehead than a crackhead. I feel like crackheads steal your stuff.
Well,
cokeheads sleep with drug dealers.
Cokeheads run through a lot of money, too.
No, there's no question.
Yes.
More money than a crack.
Yeah.
Crack is cheap.
Yeah.
Coke is not cheap.
Right. That's why a lot of rich people turn to crack, because it's cheaper. so he can save some money.
You think it's like a group, a Coke Groupon or something?
929 ESPN 97.5. Time to talk for me to talk about HRP. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net. That's where you go to get your – listen, we're heading towards the end of the year. If you're looking for a great way to transition, I don't know. It's really getting close to the end of the year, but Kevin or Plotnick or Chris or one of the guys over there can get to your place. They can customize the plan for you. And if you're tired of your payroll company, if your payroll company lied to you, your payroll company, look how cheap our payroll is. And then all of a sudden, wow, our insurance, our 401k, our benefits packages are just astronomical. This is bad. Well, guess what? That's how they get you. So if you're looking for a payroll company that does payroll and HR, that's HRP. And then they give you the choices for all that other stuff. And you choose the one that is right for your business as opposed to getting stuck with it by these other companies. This is that's the scam that these guys are working on you people. So if you're looking for a payroll company and an HR company and you want to choose all the other stuff, HRP.net, 281-880-6525.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 933 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776 is the number. How about Lions fans? Matt Patricia gets fired, and so Lions fans and Bob Quinn, Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn gets fired. And you go, well, thanks to the Texans. If you lose to the Texans, guess what? You're going to get fired. Well, guess what? You lost to the Texans. You got fired. So Lions fans have donated a boatload of money to Deshaun's foundation.
Are you serious?
Yeah. It's dedicated to education, health, housing, and other charitable causes. And Lions fans have totaled up over $1,000 as of Sunday morning. Probably more. But as soon as they found out that, hey, thanks, Deshaun. Who else did this? There was another.
Andy Dalton.
Andy Dalton's charity. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, Andy Dalton's charity.
Buffalo Bills fans kicked into Andy Dalton, yep. Right?
Right. And Bills fans gave to Josh Allen's charity to honor his grandmother. But now it's Lions fans. They're donating to Deshaun Watson. That's funny.
Speaking of donating, our guy... Cobos from Cobos Raul? Q. Yep, Raul is going to be making brisket, pulled pork, chicken, potato salad, and Shiner beans for our golf tournament this Thursday. He's going to be doing the dinner afterwards. And you guys really should follow him. Oh, my. He's making, on Twitter, it's at Cobos, C-O-B-O-S-Q-U-E, at Cobos Q. Also the same, I think, on Instagram, the food he puts out there on his videos.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
It is unbelievable. Unbelievable.
How he brought in some of the chili the other day and the boudin mac and cheese.
Yep. Oh, that was delicious. That chili, that'll clear your nostrils.
Had a little kick in it.
That'll clear your nostrils.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
He had some kick in that.
Your sinuses. 713-780-3776 is the number. If you'd like to get in here and hang with us, you are more than welcome to do that here on the show. Texans look really, really good. They're 4-7. Colts did not look really, really good.
No.
Tennessee with an ass whooping.
It was 14-14, and that was all she wrote. After that, it was a straight ass whooping.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry, they bullied the Colts around. And you got to say, Tennessee's the clear front runner now in the division.
Yeah.
The Colts have some work to do to maintain playoff profile, because here's the Browns who, the Browns beat the Texans in an ugly game. They go beat the Jacksonville Jaguars. But the Browns, what are the Browns at now? 7 wins?
Yeah, the Browns, this is the most, no, 8-3? Yeah, they're 8-3.
8-3
This is the first time they've been over in 26 years, 5 games over 500.
And they just ended a 12-season streak of losing seasons by winning yesterday. So they won't have a losing
season. They won't have a losing season.
By the way,
congratulations.
John Dorsey says you're welcome. Since everyone loved to, since all the analytics people and all the Sashi Brown stands were, John Dorsey's the one who actually sat down and decided to start drafting people like a cornerback, like, of course, the pass rusher, Myles Garrett, was already there, but Nick Chubb, he brought in Kareem Hunt.
Got rid of Jabril Peppers.
He brought in, you know, he brought in, God, the corner. I'm forgetting the corner's name from Ohio State.
Yeah.
But, Denzel Ward.
Yeah. And so he's done, they rebuilt the line this year with Jedrick Wills. That was not John Dorsey. No.
And
they They added right tackle. They added Jedrick Wills.
No, but he brought in the wide receivers. He brought in Baker Mayfield. He brought in the
No, he didn't bring in Jarvis Landry.
Yeah, he did. Who, John Dorsey?
You sure Dorsey drafted Landry?
It was a trade.
He traded for him. From the
Oh, that's from right. The from Dolphins. From Miami. That's right. He did bring in Jarvis. Yeah. That's right.
He brought in Kareem Hunt.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about the Odell Beckham.
Oh. He drafted Nick Chubb. I mean,
he made some good moves.
Yes,
he made some good moves.
Did he trade?
Larry Ogunjobi was his up front.
Did he trade for Vernon? Olivier Vernon? Did he trade for him or sign him? I forgot how they acquired him.
Yes, that was a signing. They drafted Larry Ogunjobi up front. I mean, there's some stuff he did that wasn't great. I think obviously the decision to give the head coaching job to. Oh, bringing Odell Beckham in was a mistake. He's just not a good locker room.
Well, actually might be better right now without that.
They clearly are because Baker's not forced to try to find him all the time. And then, you know, the Freddie Kitchens thing was stupid. Freddie is not. Baker likes him.
Here's the problem I have with that, though. Here's the problem I have with that. You'll remember the last 6 games of that season before, after Marvin Lewis was fired, Freddie Kitchens took over. And they were pretty damn good. And Baker played.
Hugh Jackson, I believe.
Oh, I mean, I'm sorry. What did I say? Marvin Lewis? But Cincinnati. Hugh Jackson. After he was fired, you'll remember those last 6 games, they looked pretty damn good. And Baker was pretty happy. And Baker was playing really well. It seemed like the entire, when Bill O'Brien was out of here. The Hugh Jackson era was over, and everybody felt really, really good. If you didn't hire Freddie Kitchens, if you didn't, and Baker would have regressed, everyone would have destroyed you.
Yeah, but instead you hired him, and you're fired.
Well,
Freddie was.
If you'll remember that the year before, Freddie Kitchens actually looked really good.
So you're okay with the Texas
but there's
hiring
a difference
Tim Kelly?
Between being a play caller and a head coach.
Well, he was the head coach when Hugh Jackson was fired.
Well, in short term, but
so Lance, that's all you had to go by.
I know.
But if you didn't hire him, and by the way, Baker loved him because Baker was playing well. Baker started playing well when Hugh Jackson left. And Freddie looked really good. I'm telling you, that offseason, they really had no choice. They had to hire Freddie.
I don't agree with that. I don't agree with you. You have no choice.
Otherwise, everybody would have said, if you didn't, and Baker regressed, he would have said, well, you took away the guy that looked really good.
You could say, look, we're going to keep you here as play caller. That's happened before, too.
Well,
you
what if Freddie Kitchens didn't want to stay there as just play caller after he was interim head coach?
Then Freddie can go. But you know what a lot of those guys like to do? If he thinks Baker's so good, he's going to stay there and say, look, Freddie, we'll give you a bump in salary. We're bringing in a different head coach. We'll give you a bump in salary. But you don't have to make a guy a head coach because if Baker Mayfield is so dependent upon one coach to be great, then he wasn't worth the first-round pick.
You don't want all these transitions. And, again, they looked really good under Kitchens those last 6 games.
I can tell you this. I know this for a fact because my dad is tight with Freddie. Freddie would have stayed as OC. If they had bumped Freddie with some pay and said, we'll pay you, we're going to give you a good bump and pay Freddie, we want to keep you as the offense coordinator, we think you're doing a great job with Baker. Because what happens is, if you do well with the quarterback, it's just like Frank Reich, you get a head coaching job somewhere. It would not have been the end of the world, and you would have thought...
And, And then it could be a little uncomfortable. First of all, you got to have a head coach that says, yeah, I want Freddie Kitchens.
Hey, well, if John Dorsey had to do it, now John Dorsey doesn't have a job. So I don't think you ever have to do it. You got to do what you think is right for a team.
That's hindsight, though. That's hindsight. 2020. Because now you know that Freddie Kitchens sucked as a head coach. At that time, you didn't.
And now John Dorsey's gone.
Yeah. But now you know. Well, there's a lot of general managers that lose because their head coach sucks.
But John's not. John's been around.
Ryan Pace is out.
I know. No, Ryan Pace isn't out yet.
Well, he will be.
Yeah, but John Dorsey didn't get that much. He didn't get long enough because he made a bad hire with Freddie Kitchens. He shouldn't have done it. I mean, he shouldn't have done it. I know it looks like hindsight, but Freddie had no background that would make you think he would be a great head coach. But also, to be fair to John Dorsey, from the top down, they have had issues.
So I was going to ask you this. So the difference between the Texans being, quote-unquote, forced into hiring Tim Kelly as the head coach is because Romeo is the overseer? Because what if – look how Deshaun's playing under Tim Kelly.
So right. You're going to want to keep –
Would you hire Tim Kelly
as the head coach because he's not the head coach now. He's not the interim head coach now.
But what if Deshaun says he wants him?
Well, then he stays as a coordinator.
I don't think players should make those calls.
Well, is Deshaun playing really well? It would be dumb to get rid of Tim Kelly right now.
I think
Deshaun is playing as well as he did his rookie year.
I think Deshaun Watson can play well under a number of people. I don't think Tim Kelly has the magic sauce. Because last time I checked, Deshaun Watson has made plays under he made plays under Bill O'Brien. Who cares?
But Baker hadn't been. See, Baker was flourishing for the first.
He was a rookie.
I think they were kind of forced into the deal. And you know what? Because of how well he played and hadn't played well before. Deshaun has a history of playing well, with or without Tim Kelly. I mean, he had the other Whoopi as his coach, Sean, and they got rid of him. And Deshaun did not play as well after they got rid of him. And now he's playing well again under Tim Kelly without Bill O'Brien. And that's a good sign. You know what? Wouldn't you? Now, you're seeing what you're seeing with five games left in this season. Do you want Tim Kelly back as the offensive coordinator?
I don't care. I think he's doing a pretty good job. That's great against Jacksonville and the Lions and these floundering teams. As far as I'm concerned, Deshaun Watson has some special talent, and I don't think he's the guy that unlocks the magic sauce. And without him, I don't think it has a whole lot to do with Tim Kelly. I think there's lots of good play callers and quarterback whispers and gurus. And I don't think Tim Kelly's the last one on earth.
I don't think so either. But I asked, would you want him back? And I say yes. And here's why. How about some continuity for him, too? As opposed to a different offensive coordinator, this will be his fifth year in the league. How many is he going to have now?
Well, I know you don't like that, but what you do like is the continuity really needs to start at the head coach and let the head coach bring the people in that he wants. And then from there, you get the continuity of the whole organization. I understand your point. And, yeah, Deshaun's been in a spot where, because he had a guy in Bill O'Brien who just flip. Continuity hasn't been great. But with the next, you still have to make decisions that are best for, because you don't want to get in a spot where you make these decisions and Deshaun Watson jets out of here. And you're like, well, I mean, but Deshaun wanted this. Like, oh, well.
Well.
Too bad, so sad. Deshaun left. So you don't want that to ever be the situation either. Although, to be fair, Deshaun Watson still has like 4 years he's going to be at the Texans. So that's an eternity in NFL circles.
Yeah, no. But here's the deal is we see so many guys. Well, I'm 3 years, 4 years, three different coordinators, 3 years, three coordinators, all of this. Let's get some continuity. If in fact, and listen, if I had my druthers, If he continues to play well over these last five games, yes, I would want Tim Kelly back. Yes, that would be great. If he plays well over these last five games, because he's playing pretty damn well right now.
So you only think Deshaun's, the way he plays is dependent upon his coach? Whether he plays poorly or well, it's all
Sean Ryan left, it was a blow to Deshaun.
I think it's more on Deshaun than it is on a coach. I think Deshaun unlocks Deshaun. If we say that Bill O'Brien... Look, people used to just say when Deshaun played poorly, it's Bill O'Brien's play calling. That's bullcrap. A lot of it had to do with Deshaun not making certain plays, not doing certain things. What Quincy Avery has said is that Deshaun's doing a much better job of getting the ball out, recognizing, And look, if they want to keep Tim Kelly, that's great too. I really don't have an opinion on it. I don't think that's the important hire. I think the important hire is head coach.
Oh, well, obviously. But yeah. I didn't ask you that. I asked you, would you like to keep Tim Kelly? My answer is yes, and you say you don't care.
I don't care.
946, ESPN 97.5. Time to get a little testosterone.
Men's T Clinic is your spot then. You may have gone to other places and not had the same results that you wanted with testosterone. But what Men's T Clinic is able to do is, even if you've been unsuccessful somewhere else, what they do is they test you. They make sure that you're a candidate, first of all, because if you're not, they're not going to treat you. And if you are, they want to make sure that they get the right balance for you so that you get optimal results. And with Men's T Clinic, you have a chance to get the results that you're looking for. And they do a great job of really creating and tailoring a program that is right for you. And it can get you your energy back, libido, your lean muscle mass numbers. Will go up, and you start to see a real difference in your quality of life early on from an energy standpoint, but in 2 to 3 months, it'll be completely different. I promise you that. Check out Men's T Clinic online. You can find one of 5 locations. It's mensteaclinic.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
Listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Mistaken. Greg Williams was actually the interim head coach, but let's face it, Freddie was in charge of the offense and Greg Williams did the defense.
So that's why I asked about Tim Kelly. Romeo's the interim. And Deshaun's playing well. Would you be in favor of hiring Tim Kelly to be the head coach, considering what Tim Kelly has?
I think that this was really the first time that Baker had played well, though, as opposed to Deshaun, who's got a history of playing well.
Well, that was Baker's rookie season, right?
Rookie?
Yeah, it was a rookie year.
Yeah, I mean, Baker was just a rookie, though.
But he was night and day under Hugh Jackson, and then Freddie. I don't know. It felt to me like it was almost a forced situation, and you know what? It did. It cost him his job.
Didn't Greg Williams kind of, not even through back channels, have an issue with not being named the head coach? Didn't he make that kind of publicly known?
Oh, yeah.
That, hey, wait a minute. The team turned around with me as a head coach, and he didn't get the
job. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't.
That's why he and Freddie could not
Williams
have stayed together.
He's got that Greg Williams personality.
Oh, there's talk. People in the NFL think that the Jets won't fire Adam Gase because they would make Greg Williams the interim, and they're worried Greg Williams would get a couple wins. And all of a sudden, no more Trevor. So things are going just fine right now.
Beautiful. They're beautiful.
Keep them here. They're beautiful.
Sam Darnold came back and was terrible.
A terrible 197 yards passing, Dell?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I watched the game. Terrible.
He wasn't good.
Couple bad picks. It was beautiful.
Sam Darnold was pitiful.
He was not good. No. Mm-mm.
Pitiful.
Well, you look at the quarterbacks in that draft, Josh Rosen, I guess he's still in football. He's a third stringer in Tampa. You got Baker. He's okay, I guess. I mean, no one's excited about him. Sam Darnold has been ruined, almost ruined by the Jets. Lamar Jackson was an MVP, and Josh Allen is going to win that division. The two quarterbacks, well, actually, but Josh Allen was the third quarterback drafted, and then Lamar was the fifth quarterback drafted. Quarterback one, Baker. Baker's as good as his running game and his defense. I think Baker's just going to turn into a game manager.
That's Baker all. Missed some easy throws yesterday.
Did you see that one in wide open? Just lob it. He fired that ball in behind. I was like, what are you doing?
But he did that last couple weeks now. It's bad.
Josh Allen had some of that in him. There was a wide open tight end in the back of the end zone. The tight end made a great play to get his feet down, but Josh was like, phew!
Yeah.
Just soft toss.
He was so open.
Yeah.
Let's get Nick in here on ESPN 97.5. What do you say, Nick?
Hey, John.
Clevelander living in Houston. I've been listening to you for years. First of all, it breaks my heart to hear your first ever on-air mistake.
That was the first one I've ever had. Yeah. No, Greg Williams.
I know.
Yeah.
It's terrible. But I have to say, the reason the Browns regressed with Kitchens as head coach, when he was calling the plays as interim offensive coordinator, he was calling power runs, zone runs. He was having Baker roll out. Basically, the defense didn't know what was coming because the formations all looked kind of similar. He was playing to his players' strengths. You know, a running back in Nick Chubb who could put his foot in the ground and, you know, change directions and be full speed in a few strides. Baker, obviously, we all know he's probably more accurate when he's on the move, rolling out. When he became head coach, he started thinking that he was now the smartest guy in the room. So instead of calling plays to his players' strengths, it was almost like he was trying to prove that he was the smartest play caller in the NFL and that his plays were going to do the job, not the player. So for that reason, if I were the Texans, I don't promote Kelly. Maybe even don't make him the offensive coordinator next year. Like, let the guy learn a little bit more about what it takes to be, you know, an NFL head coach or a top coordinator. So he doesn't kind of get that into his head that he got the promotion because he is the smartest guy in the room. Basically, let's not create another Bill O'Brien here, because I'd like to root for the Texans.
Yeah, I don't know. Just because Freddie Kitchen messed it up, and it doesn't mean that Tim Kelly is going to mess it up. If listen, Deshaun really liked Sean Ryan and Pat O'Hara, I guess. And he, after they were gone, he did regress just a little bit. If Tim Kelly is doing a good job, just because Freddie Kitchens didn't, and Freddie Kitchens felt like messed it up, doesn't mean that Tim Kelly is going to mess it up. If in fact they're doing it, these last five games will prove it out. And look, the Browns were 5-2 over those last five games and looked pretty damn good doing it. And Baker looked pretty damn good, so there was a lot of hope for them. I'm not promoting Tim Kelly as head coach. I'm not. But it turns out it was a mistake by the Browns. It was a mistake by Dorsey, and it did cost him his job.
We're not talking head coach. I mean,
No.
This is totally different. But most new GM, new head coach, fresh new start, everyone's out the door. However, Deshaun Watson is a different story. If Deshaun really goes to bat and says, I really, really want this, or if they ask him, they might keep him. Although if a head coach is an offensive guy, then I don't know how likely. They may say, Yeah, we'll keep him as quarterback coach. He's not calling plays. If you bring in an offensive-minded guy, he's not letting Tim Kelly have the reins because he's probably got his own philosophy, and my guess is he would be a play caller. But to have him as a quarterback coach, would Tim Kelly want to do that? I think so. It's not stupid to hitch your wagon to Deshaun Watson.
No, it's not stupid at all. And if Deshaun is performing very well. Now, again, it's these last games, and we started out this segment talking about Deshaun and talking about the Colts, and they've got the Colts this week, and they've got two out of the next three are against the Colts. They've got the Colts here, then they're at Chicago, which looks, although that defense still looks tough, but you got, hopefully you'll still be facing Trubisky. You got at the Colts, you got Cincinnati, and you got Tennessee, and we'll see what Tennessee is playing for at the end of the year. But you got a chance to look really good down the stretch here. You've got a chance to spoil some people's hopes and dreams. Indianapolis, for one. You play them twice. These are two huge games.
Oh, they've got to beat the Texans twice.
Yeah.
They need to beat the Texans twice. And so the Texans could absolutely play spoiler.
Yeah. No. They could. And, oh, by the way, it'll say something about Deshaun, his leadership. It'll say something about, you know, him being able to pull them out. It'll say something about, I don't know what it'll say about this roster. This roster is pretty damn bad. So, but it'll be nice to finish up pretty strong. If you finished 8-8 after starting 0-4, firing your head coach, that'd be a nice way to finish up the season.
Oh, absolutely. The whole key is going to be how's Deshaun playing? Are guys still playing for you? You want to see Max Sharping come back and get back into form. You want to see Titus Howard play well. I don't know what you want to see from Will Fuller, because at this point, I'm not sure if Will plays well. Ah, man, you got to put your number on Will Fuller, and if he wants more than that, he's got to go. You cannot get into a situation where you think you have to, you know, that you have to kowtow to Will Fuller.
Somebody suggested the transition tag. And if a team makes an offer, you match it. As opposed to the franchise
tag. I think that's actually a good... No, you don't want to do franchise. The transition is smart, actually.
Because if somebody's going to pay him like a number one receiver, a stupid money, then you go, okay, go ahead.
Let me see. Transition tag for wide receivers.
Yeah. What is that money? See what that money is going to be, because that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah. Let's see. NFL, so March, so last year, the transition tag of wide receivers, $15.68 million. That's not bad. Now, I say that. Actually, that stinks. Because your franchise tag is $17.8 million. your transition.
I mean,
but you know, if you put a transition and you keep them for a year, it's less than that. Yeah, I would actually consider doing that. It's a little high, but at the same time, it basically save them for one more year. If you have the money to do that, which I think you will, if you move JJ Watt. And you make even just one cut, like Bernardrick McKinney, who, by the way, you need to. They're not good enough at linebacker at that second spot, so they got to find a linebacker. They need one pretty quickly.
Does the $2 million difference, because with a transition tag, you have no guarantee that you lose them. You just have the opportunity to match. If you put a franchise tag and it costs you $2 million, you know no one's giving you two first-round picks for Will Fuller, so you're guaranteed to have them for that amount, right? So
yes.
The guarantee to have them over the savings of $2 million and potentially losing them. Which one's more valuable?
Well, let me see. What do you get?
You don't get anything for a transition tag.
You used to get something.
I'm looking at it right now. Under transition, the team that loses the player gets no compensation.
But you do. But you find out what the offer is. I mean, you find out what he's worth on the market.
Yeah, but Dale's saying for $2
million. Well, but... It's over $2 million. It's almost three, isn't it?
You said it was 17 something.
Yeah, it was 17.8 versus 15.
Yeah,
it's almost three. But
well, even three, because you're not getting the two first round picks that come with the franchise tag, so you guarantee to have Will Fuller for the year, or you possibly lose him for nothing if the deal that he signs someplace else is something you don't want to touch. So that's the question you have to make. That's the question you have to answer.
So yeah, five
There's
days.
There's very
to
few
match.
Transition tags in the league anymore.
Because they're not.
Well, it used to be, so I think there did used to be something where there was a tag where I think the transition tag did have something. Now it's top 10 receivers instead of the franchise tag, which is it's based on a 5-year average cap percentage, top 5 salaries. So it would save you, obviously, some money. It locks you in at 1 year.
And you get a right of first refusal.
Yeah, because you could just let him walk. I think what it does is just say you only have 5 days, but at least it gives you a little bit more time that, okay, somebody signed the offer sheet. Let's start calling some agents about other wide receivers. And if we can't do it, we'll keep Will Fuller for this amount. We'll match. If you can, they're guaranteeing that amount. If somebody's going to get him, they're going to come for over that amount. I just don't think Will Fuller, but for 1 year, the Texans might actually consider that for 1 year just because they don't have they don't have a lot of draft picks. They still need to fill out they still need to have a roster in place.
Yep. All right, we're done. You beat it. 10:01 ESPN 97.5.
I'm not beating it until I tell you about St. Arnold. St. Arnold, one of my favorite saints, Arnold. And he is the patron saint of hoppy beer during the Christmas ale time at your local grocery stores. Well, maybe that's not actually what that is, but I do know that St. Arnold, our first craft brewery, the original here in Houston, and they're still going strong. They have those IPA, those hoppy IPAs are available, the variety packs, in your local grocery stores. They're also available as the Christmas ale. That is available as well at your grocery store. That's one that is a very hot item, and they do a lot of brisk business with both of those in a grocery store. But you can also go experience those in different flights that they have at the beer garden and restaurant. They've got indoor for a day like today, or later this afternoon when it warms up a little bit. If you want to wear your jacket and sit outside, you can do that as well. It's socially distanced, very safe, and they have some incredible beverages and food available for you to enjoy outdoors right here in the city of Houston. Make sure that you go to StArnold.com. You can check them out for yourself, but now is the time to grab your seasonal beer, StArnold.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
It's 10:01 a.m. on a Monday, all at once. Your sales leader needs to know which deals are at risk. Your PM wants feature adoption by cohort, and your CFO needs one last graph for the board. Now your data team has to say no to somebody. Hex changes that. Ask any data question in plain English and get an analyst-grade response, all backed by your actual business context as defined by your data team. Start saying yes to more data questions at hex.ai.
Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves. You're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit NCL.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry the Bahamas and USA.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.